This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu in Raise Your Game this lovely Monday. And I'm here with Alvin Ang, who's an author and also a fellow at Khazanah National. And he's back again. Last time he was back, he was talking about his book, Taking Your Soul to Work. He's got talking about his latest book now, Barefoot Leadership, Real People, Real Journeys. And it's published by Khazanah National and will be ready next month, September.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, it's about barefoot leaders. Barefoot leaders are people who are able to walk the extra mile. And they are willing to go barefoot when everyone else wants to wear shoes. I wrote this book after spending 2 years journeying throughout Malaysia, most of the time wearing shoes. tracking down extraordinary leaders in Malaysia, especially those who are very high impact in the area of business, education and social justice. And so my book describes what I learned about it, what kind of mindsets you need to make a difference, and what kind of methods you need to have, what kind of tools you can employ to touch lives, you know, beyond the extra mile.
And what were some principles of extraordinary leadership that you found out?
Well, I found five principles. The first one is the ability to let go of control and embrace your calling. And a lot of people who rise up in management want to control things. Extraordinary leaders, people who are willing to go barefoot, let go of their control. But they tap deeper into their most deeply held values and live there. The second principle is they embody courage and humility. You need both. You can't just be a courageous person because you might become foolhardy. And you can't just be humble because then you might not do anything. You need both.
Both.
Yeah. The third one is interesting. It comes from about 20 years of scientific research. The whole idea of deliberate practice. These dozen-odd Malaysian leaders I met were very focused in developing themselves, usually in one or two core areas, and spent about 10 years or more doing it. At the same time, you can't just do that because it's a hard slog. Deliberate practice is slow and difficult.
No overnight successes.
Yes, no overnight successes. So while you are going through that, how will you live? And I discovered that all of them are, in a way, joyful people. So they learn to savor joy.
Okay.
The fourth principle is learning to do what you love and love what you do. Now, this sounds very simple. But for a lot of people, it's not so easy because they say, I've got to do what helps me to put bread on the table, helps me to put rice on the table. I think they believe it, but I think at some point in your life, you have to learn to do what you love and really pursue it and take a risk if necessary. Mm. But at the same time, it's not always easy to find what you love doing.
Mm.
So, meantime, it is so important to love what you do, to increase that percentage of what you are doing from let's say 5% of what you love to do to maybe about more and keep on increasing it. And as you increase it, you will actually discover what you love doing.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. And the final one, the fifth principle is very transcendent. It's the idea that every person matters. So if I meet everyone, every person I meet on the street is a significant person. And when I realize that, I also realize that I matter. So these are the five principles that will be highlighted in the book.
Okay, what was the most important lesson you learned?
Wow. I think when I take a step back and ask myself, what's the biggest takeaway? I will say that great leaders take time to reflect on their lives and their actions in leadership. And I would like to even push the bar even further. I think the higher up you go in leadership, the busier you are, the more it is important to take time to reflect.
Hmm. Okay. What did you discover about some of the people from the book?
Well, I interviewed three people. We don't have enough time for me to unpack it. But three of them. One, his name is Paul Sinapan. I consider him the father of microfinance because he helped 200,000 people in Malaysia save 60 million ringgit.
Huh.
The second one is Irene Fernandez. She's more famous.
Yeah.
She is like the conscience of the nation speaking up on behalf of the voiceless, mm-hmm. especially the migrant workers. And the third guy's name is John DeCruz. He was a former high school principal who left his job to live among the poor for 5 years. And from there, he developed a methodology for transforming failed students to become lifelong learners.
Some of these are unsung heroes, huh?
Absolutely. My book is about unsung heroes. Maybe I should change that title and call it unsung heroes.
You still got time. You still got time to change
it. I know,
I do.
I have 1 month. Yeah.
Okay. And okay, so when you talk about reflection and all that, right, sometimes isn't action more important?
I think so. A lot of people think so. The action is important. I agree with that. If you do not do anything, all your talk about leadership and, you know, just becomes useless. But what Paul, Irene, and John have done is they not only act. The key thing is every week in their own separate ways, living in different parts of Malaysia in different times, you know, in a different period, they will meet in small groups and take time to reflect on their actions. And that is the secret to their leadership. What they have achieved in over 30 years in Malaysia all started when they were teenagers, and when they did something, they would take time to reflect on it. And that was very striking, because a lot of us go through life doing a lot of stuff but not taking time off to think about what we have just done.
To ponder. Okay, why does reflection matter?
I can think of three quick reasons. I think the first one is self-knowledge. I was with a CEO of a company in the US called Arrow Leadership that develops thousands of leaders. I asked him, what's your biggest challenge? And he said, my biggest challenge is that our leaders lack self-knowledge. And if you lack that, you end up in trouble. You derail. Mm. Linkage Asia is an organizational development and leadership development company in globally, but they specialize their research in Asia. And they have discovered three top things that make leaders derail. The first one is passive resistance, which means if they're asked to do something, they'll say yes, but then after that, they will go, whatever.
Mm.
The second one is...
That's what a lot of teenagers tend to say.
Yes,
whatever.
Teenagers, whatever, okay. Yeah. Adults say that in their brains, in their heads.
Whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
The first one is passive resistance. I don't know if you agree with me, Frida. You might be saying whatever right now. The second one is cautiousness. Rather than playing to win, they're playing not to lose. And the third one is skepticism, just having this sense of dubiousness. Now, these three leadership derailers, things that will derail you in your leadership, passive resistance, cautiousness, and skepticism, these are three things that are very, very hard to detect in oneself. Mm. And most people won't tell you this about yourself. Mm. And the only way you can discover this is if you take time to reflect.
Okay, right. Okay, self-knowledge.
Yeah. I think I'll skip the second one, but maybe the third one is if you want to discover these three things, I call these like breakthroughs. If you actually discover that you are a skeptical person, then you can learn to change, right? It's like discovering cancer. Hmm. But to discover these things, you need to reflect. And so reflection helps you make breakthroughs. Hmm. Idris Jala is a wonderful example. I spent quite a lot of time, 1 year, observing him in all kinds of scenarios when he was CEO of MAS and now he's CEO of Bermandu. Now, when he was at MAS, he hit a very difficult time. And in that 1 week, you know, the company was in crisis in Europe. There were three crises, internal crises in his own company. And, you know, in that time, if I was in his position, I would be in the office day and night, you know, to fight those fires. But do you know what he did? He did something so counterintuitive. He disappeared. And for 1 week, for 5 days, he spent all that time in his home. And he sat under a tree. And he swam 100 laps every day.
Oh, okay.
And that was his way of taking time to reflect. And through that crisis, he realized that sometimes you can't swim against the tide.
Mm.
Sometimes you have to let the tide carry you and you live to fight another day.
Mm.
Now, I don't think Idris would have arrived to this amazing epiphany if he did not take time to swim 100 laps every day for 5 days.
All right. We'll come back and talk about how to reflect in just a moment. I'm here with Alvin Ang, author of several books. And, of course, we'll talk about that in just a moment in Race Your Game, BFM 89.9. Good morning. This is Race Your Game on Enterprise. In case you've just joined us, I'm here with Alvin Ang, who's an author and also a fellow at Khazanah National. He's been here before. We talked about his other book, Taking Your Soul to Work, previously. And he's got a new book coming up, which is about barefoot leadership, real people, real journeys. And it will be ready in available in September.
Yes.
And he's now contemplating changing the name of the book after my suggestion.
Thanks, Frida.
We've been talking about reflective leadership based on your findings in the book as well. But how does one reflect?
Yeah, the simplest one is to look in the mirror, but that's not the right answer. It's so counterintuitive. When we are doing a lot of busy things, when you have a lot of important things to do, the temptation is to do more and more and more. And I think the first small step, and yet it's very difficult for most people, is to learn to detox from technology.
Okay.
Why are you laughing, Frida?
Detox from technology, okay.
You know, we spend too much of our lives these days are surrounded by noise. You know, we go to work, we switch on the radio, and it's great, but sometimes we do it unconsciously and we just let the sound wash over us day and night. And then when we come home from work, the first thing we do is we switch on the TV, and then the TV goes on the whole time. And then we use the internet and Facebook and all kinds of things. All are good things, but sometimes it's just good to do a detox.
A tech detox.
Yes. I think the outcome, well, you know, I led a workshop for young leaders, and, you know, young people in their 20s, that's difficult. I gave them a big plastic bag, a big paper bag, and said, you know, before this workshop begins, put all your stuff in there. And very reluctantly, they put
their
laptop. They turned
green. They
turned, they had to go through a life-changing moment to surrender their watches, their laptops, and their Blackberries. But they told me that their weekend was transformative. They saw things they never saw, and they felt that they were given the gift of an extra day. You know, because they did no work for 24 hours, they felt that the whole 24 hours was like a special gift. And then they also realized for the next 6 days after that, they could still accomplish everything they wanted to do. So suddenly your life became that by doing a detox, you get an extra day of your life every week. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yes.
Okay. And
what would be the other things?
Well, I mean, how to reflect. I think I think the tech detox is the first one to show your willingness to reflect. If you're willing to do a detox, then I think you can try these other things.
Okay.
Yes.
Step one.
I think the next one, another good one is I call it an examine, which is basically to examine your day. Take 5 or 10 minutes, either during your noonday, so now it's about 11:20, you know, in about half an hour, you're going to reach noon. Take 5 minutes just to reflect back on your whole morning and ask yourself, what am I most grateful for? And a second question, what am I least grateful for? And thirdly, think about what's one thing I need to prepare myself for the rest of the day. And do these three things at the end of the day before you go to bed as well. I think what you will discover is when you ask yourself what you are most grateful for, you find things that you are very thankful for. Most of us are not wired for thankfulness. So if you find things you're thankful for, here's the thing. You can do what you're thankful for more and more. And least grateful is also pretty good because most of us just worry. But if you say, what I'm least grateful for, you can identify one thing and then you can actually, do something about it by saying, you know, you can say sorry to the person who offended you or whom you offended. You can do all kinds of things. And yeah. So
but only one, huh?
I think one is tiring enough. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Quick example. You know, I just did this a few days ago. Somebody asked me to facilitate a workshop, but we confused the terminology. I thought it was moderate a panel, and that guy thought it was facilitate a workshop.
Okay.
Very big difference. One requires about 3 hours of preparation. The other one requires 1 week of preparation. And I was caught by surprise, and I felt very resentful. I was least grateful about it. But as I reflected about it more and more, I realized, you know, he is my friend. And if I said no to this, our friendship is over. So I realized the friendship is more important than my resentment. And so I said, okay, if we do this, let me do it wholeheartedly. That was my action for the coming period, right? And it turned out to be one of the most wonderful things I've ever done. It was a workshop held in the MACC. So, you know, it was very enlightening.
Okay. Yeah. On the ground floor.
Sorry?
Okay, what else?
Oh, let me think. I think I'll... Okay, let me tell you... Let me propose a hardcore one to your reader, to your listeners. Okay. I think it's... I'll call it Cultivate Solitude. Go away for 3 days, up to 10 days. You know, like complete withdrawal from the city. You know, don't bring anything with you. Don't bring books. It's not a vacation.
Wow.
Just find complete silence. Find a place where you can go away for 3 to 10 days. You know, I think the greatest leaders I've met know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Last week I was in Singapore and I met up with the CEO of Temasek, which is the national sovereign wealth fund that manages hundreds of billions of dollars of Singapore's
wealth. We all know
wealth.
Temasek, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
His name is Xie Fu Hua. And he says that he finds it absolutely necessary every few months to cultivate solitude.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, I think the outcome of cultivating solitude is you learn to become discerning and you gain wisdom. You see, you know what happens when you go away for 3 days to 10 days? In the first day, all you do is sleep. Because you realize, oh my God, I'm so tired, you know, and I can't, you know, for some reason, you go up to the hills, you know, and it's so quiet, and then you realize your body is so tired, and so you can't do anything else but sleep. You realize how busy you are. That realization is important.
Mm.
And then in the next couple of days, you start to ask yourself, what are some important questions in my life? Who am I? What am I doing? Where am I? And as you take time to reflect on these questions, you discover a lot more about the big, big stuff in your life.
Mm.
You cannot ever tackle these big questions while you are at work and you are Twittering and doing Facebook and trying to write a report. These questions just can't be answered in that kind of situation.
Mm.
You need the kind of silence and solitude to discover your most deeply held values. And these are things that great leaders discover, not only in Malaysia, not only in the 21st century, but in the past 2,000 years.
All right. And your concluding thoughts around reflective leadership?
I think... You know, surround all your actions with reflection. So if, you know, reflect before you act. And after you've done something today, take time to reflect on it. And remember that the mark of truly great leadership is great leaders always oscillate between action and reflection. So, you know, in a half an hour, if talking to your listeners, you're going to be, it's going to be noon. Just take 5 minutes to ask yourself, what am I most grateful for?
Mm.
What am I least grateful for? And what's one thing I need to prepare myself for the next couple of hours until daylight falls?
And don't bring your BlackBerry and your iPhone for that 5 minutes.
That's right.
All right. I'm speaking to Alvin Ang, talking about his book, Barefoot Leadership, in Race Your Game. Tomorrow, Mark Stradling from Arcanum Asia concludes his series on mnemonic techniques for presentations that sell. Up next here is Dr. Feelgood with Roxette, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station. Oh,